So let me begin then by saying a brief word about the Oxford Centre for Hindu Studies. We're very pleased to host this conference, which is the first we've organised. The centre exists solely for the academic study of Hinduism. We offer teaching to the theology faculty on track 3. We offer supervisions to graduate students of the university. We have regular lecture and seminar series on all aspects of Hinduism from within a variety of disciplines, from Indology, theology, philosophy, and indeed archaeology. We have a book series with Routledge, Studies in Hindu Traditions, and indeed we invite offers of manuscripts for that series, for that sort of peer-reviewed series. Each term we have a Majewski lecture by a distinguished academic, and the Shiv Dasani Fellowships allow an Indian academic to study with us for a term. And indeed, this conference is the result of the Shiv Dasani Fellowship, in the sense that Professor Rabe was a Shiv Dasani Fellow, and we discussed the conference when she was here. And indeed, the conference is the brainchild of Professor Rabe, whose idea it was to hold this conference here in Oxford on this theme. This is the first conference that the Oxford Centre for Hindu Studies has hosted, and we hope the first of many to come. Personally, I'm very much looking forward to these sessions. I suppose I've got a sort of romantic view of archaeology, really, because I was really interested in archaeology as a kid. And still, when I walk along the ground, I still sort of look in them in flower beds for shards of pottery and that kind of thing. I'm very pleased that our first conference is on archaeology, and indeed my second passion, which is text and textuality. So this weekend we'll be focusing on the temple and in India, and the relation between what archaeology tells us about temples and what the texts tell us about temples. And at a simple level, we might say that archaeology echoes the past and tells us about the temple itself, from which we can infer something of the social organisation around it, while the texts tell us what went on inside the temples and what people did and why they did it and what they believed they were doing. Now, at first, there might seem to be not... So, let me begin then by saying a brief word about the Oxford Centre for Hindu Studies. We're very pleased to host this conference, which is the first we've organised. The centre exists solely for the academic study of Hinduism. We offer teaching to the theology faculty on track 3. We offer supervisions to graduate students of the university. We have regular lecture and seminar series on all aspects of Hinduism from within a variety of disciplines, from Indology, theology, philosophy, and indeed archaeology. We have a book series with Routledge, Studies in Hindu Traditions, and indeed we invite offers of manuscripts for that series, for that sort of peer-reviewed series. Each term we have a Majewski lecture by a distinguished academic, and the Shiv Dasani Fellowships allow an Indian academic to study with us for a term. And indeed, this conference is the result of the Shiv Dasani Fellowship, in the sense that Professor Rabe was a Shiv Dasani Fellow, and we discussed the conference when she was here. And indeed, the conference is the brainchild of Professor Rabe, whose idea it was to hold this conference here in Oxford on this theme. This is the first conference that the Oxford Centre for Hindu Studies has hosted, and we hope the first of many to come. Personally, I'm very much looking forward to these sessions. I suppose I've got a sort of romantic view of archaeology, really, because I was really interested in archaeology as a kid. And still, when I walk along the ground, I still sort of look in them in flower beds for shards of pottery and that kind of thing. I'm very pleased that our first conference is on archaeology, and indeed my second passion, which is text and textuality. So this weekend we'll be focusing on the temple and in India, and the relation between what archaeology tells us about temples and what the texts tell us about temples. And at a simple level, we might say that archaeology echoes the past and tells us about the temple itself, from which we can infer something of the social organisation around it, while the texts tell us what went on inside the temples and what people did and why they did it and what they believed they were doing. Now, at first, there might not seem to be much in common between them, but looking at texts in an archaeological context gives us a clearer picture about the past, what archaeology tells us as to what the texts tell us, and vice versa. We're also left with the questions of truth and authenticity. What does an object from the past really mean? Is the idea even tenable that a past object could have a real meaning? should we see archaeological artifacts as some kind of raw data, or are they more like texts? What does the reading of a text tell us about the reading of material culture? And what does the reading of material culture tell us about the reading of texts? All texts are produced in particular societies, at particular times, and for particular reasons. Regardless of the context of a text, whether it be a story, a ritual manual, or a philosophical argument, it's written at a particular place and time, and so in some sense comes out of a material culture. Archaeology can reveal that the kind of culture, the kind of material culture, the kind of life in which a text was composed. And I suppose in one sense archaeology gives us a picture of the outer circumstances of life in a particular time and place, while the text tells us something of the inner life, of the subjectivities of the people who occupy that space. But I suspect the reality is more complex than this. Objects also express or contain ideas. Chandra Mukherjee writes, quote, "Objects are carriers of ideas. They help to make autonomous forces out of ideas by remaining in the physical world long after their production. That it can be both a physical and symbolic constraint gives material culture its particular power over human action," end quote. That's from her from Graven Images book. The consumption of objects that archaeology unravels tells us something of complex social identities. So on this view, archaeology reveals material culture, and in particular objects that are not simply functional, but represent ideas and therefore become symbolic. But it could be that material culture is not simply a reflection of society, but also an instrument of social change, particularly the development of technology. Now, what the relation between material culture and ideas is, or how a people represents itself in its texts, is a very interesting question. How does archaeology, which has been seen as a discipline about material culture, relate to the discipline of history, which has perhaps tended to ignore material culture in favour of ideas and politics revealed in texts? Now, I strongly suspect that a discourse of material culture, namely archaeology, has a lot to say to a discourse of ideas and texts, namely history and other humanities disciplines such as Indology. We can see this in the importance of inscriptions that have come under Indological scrutiny in recent years. I suspect that some convergence of disciplines or dialogue between them might lie in understanding material culture revealed by archaeology and in terms of what Arjun Appadurai has called things in motion. Things in motion in their temporal continuity reveal something about the human and social context. An old-fashioned Marxist view might hold that the material culture and the relations of production that within that culture produced the ideology expressed in the text, whereas a Weberian might claim that the ideas articulated in the text form the material culture. Which takes primacy in our understanding, text or material culture, is perhaps one of the issues that we'll be looking at in the course of the next couple of days. And the stress either on text or material culture might well articulate deeper tensions between a purely materialistic discourse and a more idealistic one. So there are perhaps these larger issues at stake behind the programme that brings together archaeological findings and texts. We are able to get answers and able to explore these issues in depth. Both text and material culture are windows into human existence. Archaeology captivates the imagination. I remember actually as a kid on the South Downs finding pieces of pottery and so on. It's like there's a link between you and the people who, person who made that all those thousands of years ago, whose language I didn't know. And this isn't dissimilar to a textual scholar who, as many of us are here, who reads an ancient Indian manuscript, and there's a sort of link between you and the past, and there's a sort of sense of wonder in that, I think, which is very interesting. Both textual scholar and archaeologist are united by this sense of wonder, perhaps. Apart from these larger questions, there are also the archaeology of the texts themselves to consider. Unfortunately, in India, manuscripts are not very old in comparison with Europe due to weather conditions being adverse to their preservation, but archaeology is clearly important here in uncovering the manuscripts and understanding the locations in which they're found. Manuscript gathering and preservation is an important issue, but there are projects devoted to this, such as the German-Nepalese manuscript project and the digitization of manuscripts of Pondicherry that I know about. There are many others I don't know about, So lastly, there's a political dimension to our discussion on text and archaeology. Both are used in the service of political ideas, and both archaeology and text are embodied in a politics of representation. We see this particularly in the Aryan and non-Aryan controversy in the question of language of the Indus Valley civilization, where archaeology is employed to support particular kinds of political ideology. While this is not the concern of the present conference, these broader discussions need to be borne in mind that when speaking of text and archaeology, we are also speaking about a politics of representation, and these issues need to be widely debated in universities. So, in conclusion then, on behalf of the staff of OCHS, particularly our director, Sean Akarishi Das, and Dr. Jessica Fraser, who's worked so hard in organising this conference, and other staff of the centre, we hope that you'll have a very enjoyable and memorable weekend. So we'll start a bit earlier, and I'll hand you over to Professor Richard Gombrich, who's going to chair the first session.